You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey, I'm Kirk Barrett. Welcome to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best practices, best business practices, and the best dental practices across the country. And you're going to love the guest I have today. His name is Dr. Ken Allen, one of my favorite. So do me a favor, hit the share button, grab a pen, settle in. You're going to love this. We'll see you in just a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Barrett is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey, welcome back. Today's show, the Best Practices Show, where we really take a look at what's working in this great profession called dentistry, bringing it all to you and what's really working out there so you guys can enjoy the amazing profession of dentistry. So, good friend of mine on today, Dr. Ken Allen from Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you, Ken, for being on.
Thanks for the invitation, Kirk.
Yeah, I have a great relationship with Ken many years, became a client of ours at ACT Dental, and now he is one of my teachers. So it's fun to watch what he's done. And one of the most important things that happens in a great dental practice is finding the right people and building a great team. One of the things we always say is, you know, there's nothing that trumps organizational health. When you have a great group of people around the table in any business, it's the ultimate game changer. And you've done an incredible job of that. So Ken, give us a little bit of background on who you are, a little bit about your journey, and then everyone can see what you've done, because you have some great secrets that we can share with everybody.
Well, thanks a ton, Kirk. So I practice general dentistry in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I've been here for 17 years. You know, I started in almost a startup practice. When I went into my practice, it was a one-chair operatory. The doctor that I purchased it from was working 2 days a week, if you can call them days. He was working Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock with a one-hour lunch break. So he wasn't doing very much. The reason I purchased that practice, though, is because he had a wonderful philosophy. He knew how to take care of his patients. They were his friends, and that resonated with me, and that was the kind of dentistry that I wanted to practice. So I knew that things were going to be a little slim as we built it up, but I needed to get started. So it's been a fun ride for the last 17 years as we've seen things grow and grow and grow again.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one of the things that you've done magically is, like I said, creating a great group of people around you. So I get this question all the time. How do I find the right people? Okay. How do I hire the right people? How do I keep the right people? How do I grow and develop the right people? Because as a dentist, one of the things you can never say is I can't find the right people. So tell us a little bit about your journey in the hiring process, because you've learned a lot.
Well, you know, I think everyone can get lucky once. And I got lucky my first try, but that was the only time I got lucky on my first hire. When I found the practice that I ended up purchasing, I'd been working in another practice for 1 month covering while the doctor was out of town. And the office manager of that practice said, "Hey, I have a friend. You ought to talk to her. I think she'd be a great employee." I mean, at the time, I could only afford to have one employee. So she was going to answer the phones. She was going to be my assistant. She was going to do everything. So I met this employee and we sat down for about 10 minutes and seemed like it was going to work out okay. And so we said, "Oh, all right, let's make this happen." So in September of 2000, we went ahead and opened our doors, and I got lucky that one time.
Yeah.
As things started to grow, though, we needed to bring someone else on. And I remember hiring my second individual. I just went ahead and figured, well, I better call up the newspaper and put an ad in there and say I'm looking for a dental assistant. So I put this ad out. And I had 45 people respond to this ad. And so it just seemed like, oh, I better call all 45 people in and interview them. And boy, I remember thinking, this is the most tedious thing on the planet.
Yeah.
I would ask questions like, why do you want to be a dental assistant? And I remember to this day, this lady saying, well, I don't want to be a dental assistant, but my sister-in-law is a dental assistant, and she thinks she's all that. Mm-hmm. So I need to be a dental assistant. Will you please hire me so I can just get her to stop?
Yeah.
Really, this is such a waste of my time. I mean, I didn't want to say, you're out of here 2 minutes after they'd come through the door. But when you're interviewing people, sometimes you know immediately they're just not a fit. And so I felt like I was wasting an inordinate amount of time with individuals that kind of needed to have been screened somehow.
Yeah.
Eventually, I found a wonderful dental assistant and I went forward. And about 2 years later, it was, I remember, July of 2003, I was looking to hire a receptionist. Now, in 2003, the economy was starting to go downhill, if you remember.
Right.
Everyone was looking for a job. It was a terrific time to hire a receptionist. And I thought, okay, we're going to do this a little different. And so we came up with a few different ideas on how we could get a lot of applicants to send their information and we could quickly screen them and find a way to get them.
Yeah, because you and I have talked about this a long time. The hiring process is incredibly difficult. And I've heard people say things like this: it never gets better than the interview. Like the interview is the top. And people are now professional interviewers. And you start to add up all the hours that you spend when you're trying to find the right people and you're conducting these interviews. And you completely simplified the whole process and turned the whole process on its head. And take us through that, because it's genius what you did. What'd you do?
Well, let me tell you the major principle you got to remember is you've got to invest the time into it. Even if you simplify it, you've got to put the time into the hiring process, because these team members, they're your extensions. They are the dental practice. They represent the practice to the patient. And so they're an extension of you and everything that you represent. So you can't get it wrong. You've got to get it right. The first thing that I did is I decided that I needed to get better at writing the ad.
Okay.
And so I spent a lot of time kind of crafting my ad. I wanted to make sure that the ad that I wrote was completely in line with my practice vision. We talk a lot about the vision that we want to create for our patients, the vision we want to create for our team, the vision we want to create for our life.
Right.
A lot of times dentists miss the vision when it comes to writing their job descriptions and their job advertisements. And so I went back, I looked at my vision, and I put that right into the job ad. I came up with a concise advertisement that was looking not necessarily for technical skills, but for the people skills that I needed to find people who could relate to the patients, who could care for others, who had compassion, who had integrity, who could reflect these practice values.
Mm-hmm.
And so the job description switched to something like this. I printed it off from way back when.
Oh, you
full-time
did?
Dental assistant, yeah. Full-time dental assistant needed for energetic dental office. We're seeking a full-time, self-motivated, detail-oriented, hardworking, personable individual. Job duties include dental assisting, sterilization, laboratory work, and helping with reception duties. Then this was the key piece that we put in. Dental assisting experience is helpful, but not mandatory. Mm-hmm. Now, this is part of my vision and my philosophy. You know, sometimes it takes longer to untrain the wrong habits than it takes to train the correct habits. So I'm willing to put an investment in the right team member and teach them how to do things in line with our vision, rather than say, oh, I've got to have that assistant that knows how to do everything perfectly who's been 35 years in the dental assisting field. I'd rather take the time and train them up in a way that they can learn those skills if they have people skills. So I put this in: dental assisting experience is helpful, but not mandatory. We are willing to train the correct individual.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, when you put something like that, boy, you're opening up the floodgates. And so we'd say, please respond to this posting via email and attach your cover letter and resume. That's if we post it online. Or if we did it on a newspaper, we'd say, please fax your cover letter and resume too. And we put our fax number. Okay. And so I just decided to try that back in July of 2003. It was a similar type of ad, and that was for the office manager position. I was blown away because within a week, I received 155 applicants who sent in a cover letter and their resume.
Wow, that's quite a few. So writing the ad is critical key. Number one, you probably get a better quality response from that. And then just the number of responses that you got, that's fantastic, actually.
Yeah, it makes a humongous difference. You know, when you write that ad, you need to make sure that you're including in there the traits and the characteristics of the person that you want. You've got to put a little bit of the job description in there. And then if there's some must-haves, please include that in there. If this person must be able to relate to people, then put words in there that describe the type of personality you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So after you wrote the ad, you started getting these applicants. Take us through the next steps of the process, because I love how you put this together.
You know, after we had 155 resumes, we thought, oh, crap, there's too many people to interview. We realized if we sat down with 155 individuals and gave them all a half an hour interview, it would just take forever. So we called the local hotel and we rented a room. And we contacted each of these applicants and said, due to the immense response for this job posting, we're going to hold a group interview. Mm-hmm. We told them that it was going to be held at the hotel, and we told them the time that it was going to happen. It was going to be 7 p.m. on a Thursday night. And we said, it's going to be a mandatory group interview for anybody who's interested in applying. And at that interview, we'll go through and describe in detail everything related to the job. We'll talk about the responsibilities. We'll talk about the benefits. We'll talk about the pay, and we'll answer everybody's question. So we got to call them back. Now, as we did that, the team members could divide and conquer and call them, and we paid attention to how they answered the telephone. You can learn a lot. You can also learn a lot by their voicemail or whatever interactions you have with them. But we'd invite all of those people to come to the hotel Thursday night at 7. So Thursday night rolls along, and we show up, and this is a whole team approach. You know, everyone's going to put their best face on when they come to meet with the doctor if they know they're going to be interviewed, or with the office manager, whoever they perceive the decision maker is. But there are some people in there that their personality is such that they're going to have one face to the decision maker and they're going to be completely different to everybody else. So it was critical to me to have my entire team there so that they could all interact with all of these candidates. So the first thing we did as they came is we had name tags. We had a name tag for each person, and they got to write their name. You'd be amazed. There are people who refused to write their name on their name tags.
Why?
It's almost as if they knew, oh, no, they're going to find out who I am.
Oh, my.
But that seems to be kind of disqualifying when we're talking about a job interview. But believe it or not, they were a little hesitant and they just didn't want to write their name. So that kind of disqualified them. Mm-hmm. It blew their paradigms for a lot of them. But they'd write their names, and then we would greet them as they came in, and we'd say, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to meet with us. We are so glad that you would come. We promise we'll make this quick. We promise this will be fun. We promise this will be informative. And if at any time you feel this is not a match, realize that you're not going to offend us if you just need to get up and walk out.
Okay.
So we started right at 7 o'clock. And one of our team members would walk up to the front. We'd prepare a little PowerPoint presentation. And the team member walks up there and says, thanks for coming. We're doing this group interview so we can make sure everybody's on an equal footing. And we're going to answer all of your questions about benefits and about the job together so you all know the same information. And then they would introduce all of the members of our team. Then I would get up. And I went ahead and gave my spiel about the little bit of the history of the dental practice and what I'm looking for in an employee. I gave them that big thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And I let them know my philosophy. See, in a job interview, it's just as much for the employee as it is for the employer.
Yeah.
If an employer feels that it's not a match, then the employee doesn't get hired and the decision is made. But likewise, if the potential employee doesn't feel that they're a match for a job, that's a successful outcome because they didn't waste 10 years of their life working in a company that would have made them miserable. So I'd share with them my perspective that if you find out at any point that this is not the place for you, just know we are grateful that you came tonight and you're free to stand up anytime and walk out and we won't feel offended. We won't feel bad. Thanks for any time that you gave us.
Can I ask you a question about this? Because this is so cool. Because you've talked to me, you know, we've talked about this whole philosophy of how you start this whole evening. So when you do these, you do them as needed, right? These evenings of hiring. So if you feel like you need to hire one or two team members, you'll actually schedule them. And then you get quite a few people that actually show up for this. And when you actually structure the hour, so you guys, I'm taking a lot of notes here. When you guys start at 7, you do the introductions. You like to talk about your philosophy and overall vision of the practice. What you're really doing is just kind of letting people know your core values. Because if they don't line up, and because you know as well as I do, your favorite team members that you ever had, there's no getting around it. Their core values line up. They just
absolutely
do. Naturally, inherently, whatever, they will line up. So when that happens, and you also use this as part of the rest of the interview, don't you?
Absolutely. Because right then, right after I give them that get up and feel free to leave, then I mentioned a really important piece. I say everyone was given, instead of just getting a name tag, they're all given a notepad and a pen. The hotel provides those for free, you know? And so we say, please feel free to take notes, write down anything you want. We want you to be engaged in this. Take as many notes as you want. Because if they're paying attention, that's going to help them in the long run on this. I also let them know that we're not going to settle on somebody. We're going to keep doing this as long as it takes to find the right person. There's been times when we've gone through 2 or 3 group interviews to find the right person. And that's aggravating when you go through this. You put a lot of time and effort into it. And then you can't find the right person and you just want to bang your head against a brick wall. But you have to keep going. If you settle, you'll have worse problems after.
Yeah, you kind of come down to the lowest common denominator because you're settling, and that's really where the entire practice operates. It's just the lowest common denominator, so you can't settle, especially as you age. You know, I talked about this, when you're early in your career, you can make a lot of mistakes hiring, and you're like, all right, it's going to be great. And then you get older, and you're like, I'm not putting up with that anymore. You know, it's difficult when you own your own business. Nobody ever tells you this is what you sign up for. But as you age and you get better, you're like, I'm just not dealing with that anymore. And the way you do it is fantastic. So you tell people your philosophy and kind of give them an introductory picture. And then where do you go from there?
Well, once we've done that, then we go ahead and we talk about the work environment. We'll show them a few pictures of here's the office, since they're not in the actual office. And then we go through explaining the job duties. I mean, we have written job descriptions, and so we just go through and what the written job description is for that particular job. So if we are hiring for a receptionist, for example, then it's going to say your main job duty is communication. You're also going to need to be responsible for collecting monies at the time of service. You're going to need to schedule appointments, and we expect that you're going to schedule all of the reliable patients for their next appointment every time they're there. You're going to need to help with record keeping. We lay everything out so there's no questions. They know exactly what they need to do. Right. Any of our expectations, we want to make sure they're aware of it right then and there. Once we go through that, then I go on in and I talk about the benefits and the policies. You know, here's the salary range. Here are our benefits. We've got this retirement plan. Here's our medical plan. Here's what we offer. And we talk about the hours and what we're expecting so that we can get it all out. At the end of that, we open it up for questions and answers. And the question and answer is from the entire group. And that's one of the most fascinating parts, because you never know what you're going to get with questions and answers.
Now, why? Like, tell us why, though, because like, what happens when you start asking those questions? Why did you say that?
Well, I mean, I recall a few years ago we were doing this, and one lady raised her hand and she said, "What dental practice management software do you use?" And you could tell that she was trying to show that she understood the dental field, and that was okay. And so I explained it to her. I told her the name of the software, and she said, "Do you use something else for your accounts receivable?" And I told her that it had the functions, and then someone up front said, "Stupid question. Wow, interesting." And so the team members, when we're talking about this, are not huddled in the back. They're spread through the room. They're taking little notes. They see the name tags. And so when this lady goes, "Stupid question," one of the team members writes down her name. We want to know that. We don't want to have that kind of negative energy joining our dental family. We need to know that ahead of time. So it's very interesting. You'll get some wonderful, sincere questions, and you'll get some others. Mm-hmm. And so if everybody has had a chance to hear all of the questions and hear all of the answers, then they're on an equal setting. And so we spend enough time to go through where everybody has heard it.
Okay.
Now, once we finish that, then I say, at this point, if you're interested in applying for the job, we would love to have you fill out one of our job applications. If you're not, then thank you very much for your time. Please feel free to leave at any time. And then we'll have individuals who will stay to fill out the application and others who will go. So back in 2003, when we had the 155 applicants, 65 of them came to that group interview, and 61 of those stayed and completed the application. Now, the application has a couple of really important pieces. You have your standard things that your employment lawyer is going to tell you to get the data on, what's your education and all of that. Are you a legal employee? But there is an open section there for them to answer some questions. So, for example, the first open section says, "Briefly describe the practice philosophy of Caring Smiles and explain how you fit into our philosophy."
That's awesome, because you want to see if they were paying attention when you were talking about what you're all about. And I bet you the responses you see are very interesting in how they interpret that.
Absolutely.
And how they fit. Okay.
See, and so you get that kind of a question, and that's an easy one to quickly see. Did they listen? And did they internalize it? If I have a dental assistant or an office manager, then I'll say, "Explain the job duties of this position as we've described it." They don't have to be 100% on that, but hopefully they've listed, "Oh, he said that we want to have communication. He said I should collect money. He said that I should be scheduling people." Well, I hope that they hit about 80% or more of that. It shows right. that they're paying attention. If they have anything to do with collecting any money or estimating insurance, then there's a couple of insurance questions. We'll put on there an insurance question that says, "A patient has dental insurance, and their insurance will require them to pay a $50 deductible, and then they cover half of everything after that. Their fee is $750. How much should the patient pay? So that question right there, easily stated, is the way that we screen the applicants after they filled out the application. Because no matter how much you love them, if they can't do simple math, you don't want them collecting.
Absolutely. So those are resumes that just get sorted to another pile if they can't do the simple math.
You got it. And then for assistants, you know, I printed one off here where I'm looking. I went all the way back to the dental aptitude test, that wonderful test we had to take as dentists where you had right. The little shapes and what fits through what. Well, a dental assistant, he or she's going to have to make a provisional crown, or is going to have to line up x-rays that are parallel. So we'll throw some of the problems on there and say, you know, which of these lines are parallel, which ones are perpendicular. If it's a job specific thing, I want to know.
Right.
And so that's how we put it in on the application.
That is very cool. And again, you're always fascinated by how people respond to those questions. So cool. So they fill this all out. Is there anything else that you would say is very important about the whole application process that you found to be really eye-opening?
Well, the real eye-opening part is getting together and listening to what the team members felt and observed after that group interview. Now, don't misunderstand. Not every position is going to go through a group interview. If I'm hiring a dental hygienist, I have a much smaller pool because they need to be licensed and they have a particular skill set. There's no way I could get 165 hygienists in the same room for one position, at least not in my town. But if I'm looking for someone who's going to be a dental assistant or an office manager or receptionist, I have a much higher chance of doing that. So on these group interviews, I want to hear everything the team member says, and I want to hear their knee-jerk reactions to all the stories. All right, who did you meet? What did you learn? What happened?
Now, how do you set that up? Because after you do that, do you break the team members off and they have their own pods type of a thing? How do you logistically set that up?
So I told you that they're spread through the room while we're doing the presentation. When people are staying there to fill out the applications, the team members hand out the applications and then kind of congregate toward the back to take the applications. And they always ask, do you have any other questions? They hang out so that they can respond to any questions that weren't answered. I always go to the very back door and make sure that I can shake the hand of each and every individual and personally thank them for spending time. And I do that immediately after my presentation because there's some people who aren't going to fill out the application. Mm-hmm. The first time I did this, I went into the back and there were these two ladies in their 60s. And they said, oh, thank you so much. This is magnificent. I so appreciate that you would do this. Neither of us want to fill out your application, but it's not because we don't like the job and we don't like you. It's just because it's not a fit. But you know what? We're so compatible. We're going out to dinner. And I was like, what? And they sent a note later and said they'd become wonderful friends. So they developed a friendship through this little job application. And it's always eye-opening. We'll always have one or two people afterwards who will thank us and say, it's nice to know there are still businesses that care about people.
That's awesome.
I'm going to find one.
That is awesome. That's so cool. Well, you're just spreading goodwill throughout a great town like yours. People just get to know about you in a lot of different ways. And through the hiring process, you've even gotten patients from the hiring process, haven't you? Like referrals?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They'll say, I'm changing over. I mean, think about this. The hiring process should be no different than anything else you're doing in your dental profession. Mm-hmm. It should be no different. You're living by the same values. You're living by the same core beliefs. And so why would we treat hiring any different than how we treat a new patient coming in?
Yeah, that is so cool. So now, share with us how your team gets involved in hiring. Do they take notes on each one of these applications? And then you guys stay afterwards to kind of discuss what you've learned collectively as a team. And there's a certain psychology behind this, because now your team's going to start putting in votes for who they like and who they want. And you really learned a lot about the psychology behind them being a part of this process. So walk us through kind of the mechanics of how that all works.
So when we first receive the resume, all of those names have been entered onto a spreadsheet. And on the spreadsheet, we've got columns stating that the resume has been received. It has all of their contact information with their address and everything. And then it has a column saying that we've contacted them and told them about the group interview. The next column says if they attended the interview or not. So as they're coming in and we see their name, we mark them off. When we receive their application, we fold it over so we cannot see the name, and we go straight to the questions in the back.
Okay.
We're going to look, first of all, at the math question. If they can't do the math, then the resume goes into a different pile. I don't want to know the name of that person. I don't want to know it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because otherwise they're going to say, oh, but Katie was so nice, we've got to hire her. Yeah. Right. But she can't do math, and so we're going to lose a fortune, you know? And so we look at those questions and we go through and judge. Can she compose herself? And can she write correctly? Can we read her handwriting? How does she come across? Did she answer the questions right? By the time you do that, you'll probably come up with 10 out of 60 people who really were able to get through those questions right. And then that's the point where all of a sudden you want to have the feedback from the team members. So it's a great reveal. What we do is we all go out to dinner as a team, you know, make it a bonding opportunity. We know it's going to be a little bit of a later night. So we go out, we go through the math, and then we're like, okay, we've got these 10. Who are they? No way, Michelle, I loved her, you know, and can you believe she made it through? They'll go through and they'll start to give their opinions. But we don't let the emotion or the first impression come in until after.
Right.
And so that's an important part, because you better believe the first interaction with a patient, they're going to have the same impression that your team member had.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is so cool. Now, other things that you've learned when you do this process and somebody's thinking about this, what are some of the coaching points that you would have? What are some of your pieces of advice? Say, hey, look, I've done this a couple of times. Here's some things I would do and I wouldn't do. What would you do?
Well, so the first one is coming back to that first point I made, that it really doesn't save you time. It increases time, but it makes sure that you're able to start interviewing people that you're not going to waste your time with who you're sitting down doing one-on-one interviews with. It screens out the individuals who only want to be a dental assistant because their pompous sister-in-law was a dental assistant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once we get our little core group of 5 to 10 people, we call them in and we go through the normal steps that everyone else would do for a job interview.
Yeah.
We bring them in, we show them the practice, we go through everything else just like normal. But this whole process was just trying to help us get better applicants in the interview piece.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, again, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, please type in any questions and I can ask the master right here who's done this so many times. If you have a challenge, if you've been listening to this, you have a question, please ask it, because I want to see if we couldn't gain some insight on the quality of your question too. But this is really important, because why this concept is so eye-opening or big for us in dentistry is that the opportunity to find talent, it isn't like the old days anymore. You know, the new wave of talent out there, we've just got to have a bigger pond to be able to fish from. Obviously, we've got to be able to use our time better. And then we've also have to create enough value in the marketplace where we're consistently having the best team members and some of the most talented people come to you instead of you trying to seek them out, because word gets around after a while. And you also learn a lot as you develop a process like this. So it's been fantastic to watch you over years. Your team just gets stronger and stronger and stronger every time I see you.
Well, thank you. Now, this is the hiring process if we don't have an applicant, but I'll tell you, our very best hires have all been internal referrals.
Yeah.
When we have a team member who knows somebody who fits right into our core values, those are our best hires. And so we start right off, if we have a strongly recommended individual from a team member, we start right off on a regular interview with them. And once we've expended all of our options there, well, then we have to go to tried and trusty.
Right. And I would agree with you, and even our business, 90% of everybody we've ever brought on our team has always been referred, you know, but the one or two diamonds that we found have been through unique processes like this. But yeah, starting in that frame is always the best way to start. So very cool, buddy. I appreciate this. So any last words of wisdom you give us, you know,
and don't give up.
Don't give up.
I mean, if you settle, then you're going to have to do it again in a few months. So just keep up with it and don't give up.
Yeah, sounds good. And people always ask this question too, how do we find the right people? You know, it's really important because now in today's marketplace, you don't necessarily find the right people. They end up finding you. But an important piece to this is being the right person instead of trying to find the right person. And Ken, that's what you've done is you've created an incredible business that people want to be a part of. And that's very unique. And my hat's off to you. So great job. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and your time with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being such an important part of our incredible business, Kirk. We appreciate it.
It's fun. So if you're watching this, please feel free to even add some more comments to the side and then ask any questions. And if there's something you want to see on the Best Practices Show, put it in there. We'll do our best to see if we can't make that happen. So until we see you next time, do me a favor. Enjoy this weekend. Have a great rest of the rest of your week and weekend. And like I said, keep watching. Hit the share button. And we'll see you next time on the Best Practices Show.